Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to Word of Eternal Life broadcast from WCNO 89.9 and the Ministry of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida. In the last message, I have spoken about the Jesus ministries. This is a continuation of Jesus ministries, referring mainly from the book of Gospel of Matthew. That Gospel of Matthew is very specifically written specially for the Jewish people to understand the King Jesus. Jesus born in the genealogy of David in the town of Bethlehem, and it was prophetical that Jesus will be born there. And in this message, many points, out of the many points, the most important I have referred is that Jesus Christ is a prophetic, a Messiah, who has been born with prophecies fulfilling throughout his life. The prophecy from Genesis 3:15, as a woman's child, he was born virgin's child in Isaiah 7:14, and the future prophecies of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, the mighty God, Redeemer and Prince of Peace and Everlasting Father, that is going to be fulfilled when Christ returned to rule the earth. Then the prophecies of Jesus was fulfilled throughout the gospel ministry as Jesus was born out of the prophetical word of God. And everything Jesus performed, we mentioned about healing, that he took our infirmities from Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4, and also referring to the killing of the children of 2 years and under, as prophesied that by Jeremiah concerning the killing of the children at least 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And that took place as it was prophesied at the time of Jesus was 2 years old. And then he was sent to Egypt. He was called back to his own country of Israel, and he came back and lived in Galilee and Nazareth. So he will be called as Nazarene. So many of those prophecies has been fulfilled concerning Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about the Jesus healing a paralytic man who was paralyzed, and he was brought in by people in front of Christ, and Jesus have forgiven his sin, and then he also healed him, asked him to take his mat and walk, and he did. So the healing ministries, we see that was fulfilled according to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 speak explicitly about the ministries, and many, many chapters of Isaiah, we have a detailed study that we can go through the book of Isaiah and see the miracles of Jesus Christ and also his ministries, as when he came in his first advent, that he was not being accepted by the nation of Israel as a nation, though he was accepted by people, the few people, a remnant at that time also, and in many years afterwards also, by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ by the apostles, the remnant of Jews came to Christ and came to believe in God. And many thousands and thousands of Gentiles who are not Jewish, they are Gentiles, we call them, and also came to the Lord in years, as even today many are coming to Jesus Christ, knowing him as the Lord and Savior. So next we have to talk about the Jesus calling and one other disciple named Matthew, who himself wrote this Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, means after the healing of the paralytic, this happened in Galilee, and as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For have I not come to call the righteous, but sinners?" You see, Jesus first called Matthew, who was sitting at the tax collector's booth. Matthew was a tax collector, like today's IRS officer. For Matthew was a tax collector or IRS, Internal Revenue Service, for Romans, that he was employed by the Roman government, amen, and he was a Jew. Now, the Jew hates the tax collectors those days, and they are counted as sinners. Because of why? The reason is they often, the tax collectors have made rich themselves by collecting more money. And they gave the portion belonged to the Roman government, to the Rome, and then they kept the remaining, and they became richer. So people hated them because they are working for the Rome, and Rome is ruling over the Israel and Jews. So they have considered as sinners. The sinners are not come close to God. The sinners are not allowed in the temple. So such as they believed, but there are the events happened that the sinners called upon the name of the Lord, and he listened to him. And Jesus was having, after that, having dinner in his house. Now, Matthew has called and he was told, "Follow me." And I have discussed this part some time before concerning the calling. The calling of the people of God by the servants of God or the disciples was not a event just took place just like that. See, anyone is called to preach the gospel who has been called by God and their name has been decided in eternity. And God himself knows how many people get saved as well. Because he is all-knowing God. You know, he knows the past and he knows the present and he knows the future. So we know that Jesus called five other disciples earlier, and we have seen that from the Gospel of John. It is clearly stated there how he has called his five other disciples earlier. So Jesus was pointed by John the Baptist towards his disciples. And when John was having his short-term ministry, he introduced his disciples about Jesus. And Jesus was told, John have told them, next day, it says in the Gospel of John, if you go there, in the first chapter, in the 29th word, here, John introduces Jesus to his disciples. After all, John was the forerunner. Forerunner means the one who come before the Jesus Christ. He was the preparer of the way. See, John testified himself, I am the voice one called in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. See, I spoke about this before when we started this series, that John was sent by God to introduce Jesus Christ to the Jewish people. First of all, Jesus was coming to preach the gospel only after John was arrested. After John was arrested by Herod Antipas because of he criticizing him and condemning his sinful life, so John was arrested. Now, before that, John explains in his in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John writes about John the Baptist's ministry, and then he talks about how John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the multitude of people. Also to the Jewish people. We can read them all in the Gospel of John chapter 1. If you read from John's testimony in verse 19, the first chapter, he testifies about Jesus Christ. He says, I am the one who was sent before Christ. Amen. And Christ is coming after me, and so as he did. So John introduced the Christ the Lord to his disciples. They were told that here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. See, Christ, the Lord Jesus, who came from heaven, he was God, he was with God, and in the beginning he was with God, and he incarnated in flesh, as it says in John chapter 1 verse 14, he was incarnated in flesh, amen, and then as he was 30 years old approximately, he came down and baptized by John the Baptist, and he went to the wilderness or desert, and he was tested for 40 days by Satan, and then he came out with victoriously defeating devil and powerful with the Holy Spirit and started his ministry. So this is how Jesus was teaching, and that was we read that, we went through that part from Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And so Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist's disciples, two of them followed him. That was written in the 37th verse of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And after that, they were introduced. This was Andrew and Peter, and then Simon Peter and Andrew follow him. Then John and James and John follow him. Then Philip, then Nathaniel. So about six people were already becoming his disciples. Now Matthew become the seventh one. See, this is the point I wanted to bring it to you. How many disciples at this point did Jesus have? This is the seventh person. So, as Matthew has been received by Christ, so the importance of calling by God, and these men has been called by God before the creation of the foundation of the earth, that God knows us. God sees us before we were even born, before the world was created through Christ, who was the creator of the world. And I have talked about these messages of how Christ, who was with God and he was the creator, I referred to Colossians chapter 1 and also Hebrews chapter 1, the book of Hebrews in New Testament chapter 1. Apostle John's Gospel, chapter 1. All these chapters are speaking about Jesus Christ before he was coming to the world, as he was the creator of the universe. And he was the Word God. Word God means he was the second person who was speaking, who was acting. He was God in action. As Father God, as sit on the throne, and he sent his orders through Christ, the Son God, and it was fulfilled and completed by the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. As three in one God working together, as in one unity, as one person. So that's why in the Old Testament time, the Bible was written, and Moses have said this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, O Israel, our Lord God is one. See, this is why our Lord God is one, because his act is as one person. He is doing the three part of job as it together as one person. And the Gentile nations at the time had many gods. They were seeking gods after gods. Everyone was making a god for themselves, and a god, Yahweh, Jehovah, otherwise was only one god. There was no multiplication in that one god. In order to show the singularity of this triune God, the Old Testament only revealed him as the Jehovah, and in Yahweh or Jehovah, there was three persons included. First, Jehovah, or the Father as the Father God, and the Word, which was the scripture, the language, the Word God was speaking, then the Spirit of God, it was written as it is. So there is three persons in God, and the three persons in God, the Word God, which is Christ, became into human flesh and came and lived among humanity in Israel 2024 years ago. So today is the 2025th year after Jesus Christ has been crucified, buried, and resurrected. This has been 2025th year. So it's the history that if God comes and stand in front of human beings, is it possible? See, I have been thinking really deep about this God person today. I mean, in sitting in my recliner today, as I was thinking and meditating on God, and I was saying myself, if the Jewish people from Old Testament time was told that a Messiah will be born, and before the name become Jewish, before even Abraham was born, God told Adam and Eve that a woman's child will come and he will crush the serpent's head. There it said he, that says it's a boy, it's a man child. And that happened, all the prophecies fulfilled on Jesus Christ. All those prophecies fulfilled on Jesus Christ only. And there will not be another person with that name coming again saying, I am Messiah. If you see another person coming saying Messiah, that's a false Christ, which will happen at the end of these times, by the end of the ages, before the age closed, by the end of the age closes, there will be a 7-year tribulation. Then at the time, there will be a man who rises, and his name is Beast, and that person will be acting as the fake Messiah. And many people will believe in him, even the Jewish people. So may I say this to you, that Jesus Christ is the only person in whom these things were fulfilled. And if I say a person saying Messiah has come, and will you greet him? Will you accept him if it was not Jesus? Right, just say Jesus was not born. There's a Messiah is coming, or a Messiah already came. What kind of person are you expecting? If I am speaking to a friend, my Jewish friends, if you are looking for a Messiah, what type of person are you looking for? Are you looking for a human, or are you looking for a God human? Or you look, what is that person's appearance you are expecting? Is he riding on horses with thousands of soldiers around him, which could be angelic hosts if it is Christ? Now, I cannot understand what will a person's ideology and opinion that who a person called a Messiah look like. What kind of expectation do you or do anybody have if there is a Messiah coming? Now, this is the problem. The problem is that we don't have faith. The person saying that do not have faith in God, because God promised it will be a virgin's son. It will be a woman's son. And it will be a person such that all the prophecies will be fulfilled in him, which was, Bible is full of prophecies, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Avish, Obadiah, Jonah, Megan, Nahum, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, Malachi, right? Every one of them has prophesied, intensively sit down and study those scriptures, you will see a Messiah in every book of the Bible, Word of God, in the Old Testament, which we are talking about, the Judaic Bible. The Genesis to Malachi in English, and they have their in Hebrew names to the books, each of the books, as we know. So what type of a man, God, the Messiah has to be a human form, as I understand the most Jewish beliefs. He has to be the king. He was in the genealogy of David. He has to be a human king, you know. And the human king, God said, will be a virgin's son, will not be a human man's son. So the God's spirit came through, and Son God came through, the Word came through the Spirit and became flesh. He took his birth. His conception was done by himself, because he is God who created the world, and he himself is able to do it. In the spirit form, he existed in God with God, and his name was the Word of God. And at the end, when he comes, his name also will be Word of God, that John the Apostle says that a white horse, and one who's sitting on that white horse was coming down, and his name was written on his thigh as Word of God. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, if you read that, that person is Christ only. That person which is coming in the 19th chapter of Revelation, and he comes with the Word of God, which is the sharp double-edged sword from his mouth, and he will be speaking the Word, and Satan and the enemy, satanic enemy, which was Antichrist, and his army will be completely devastated and destroyed by the Word which comes out of his mouth. It says John sees in the Revelation, in his visions of the future, when Christ returning in the 19th chapter 11 verse onwards, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judge and make war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one know but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Look, what is this blood standing for? He crushed Satan on the cross when he killed him by himself. He was killed, as we see, the Romans, he crucified him, but he was handed over by himself to be killed, and he was shed his blood, and he was covered with blood when he was brought down and buried. See, this is a prophetic, metaphorical explanation of him, Jesus, who is dressed in robe, dipped in blood. which is that blood which shed. We were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven because he bled and died. And his name is the Word of God. It is written that his name is the Word of God. Gospel of John chapter 1, if you read verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then he says again, to reinforce it, the Word was God. And here again, Word of God, that's the name. That's the name Jesus had before. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in the linen white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, by which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter and tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On the robe and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I would go back to Matthew to let you know that Jesus was in the kingly family, son of David, born in David's family as his son, his descendant in the human way, you talk about it, but in other ways, spiritually, he was the spirit God who was in the human body. Praise God. Jesus having dinner with Matthew's house, and the tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him. And his disciples, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collector and sinners? Once hearing this, you know, Jesus came to receive the sinners. Doesn't matter you're a tax collector, doesn't matter what kind of sin you have done, it does not matter to Jesus. He is here to receive you. Even today, it's this moment you accept him. If you believe in him, he will give you eternal life. All you need to do is accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is God himself. He came in the human form. He became flesh and blood and body as human body, and he took our punishment and he died on the cross, that he will give you eternal life. If you believe in his name, you receive eternal life. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. The healthy do not need a doctor. Healthy don't need doctor, only the sick persons. What that means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I want it to be compassionate. I am God's love is in me. I am Lord Jesus has love and compassion to humanity. And that's what God is looking for. No, you are not perfect. I am not perfect. We are sinful people. But Christ came to save us. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. The same way, I will request you to humble yourself and ask the Lord for forgiveness of sins and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you will be the child of God today. May the Lord richly bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Would people drive a car 100,000 miles with no oil change? Of course not. However, that is what we do to our bodies. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America have a cutting-edge tool to clean blood. It's called Therapeutic Plasma Exchange. Wouldn't everyone like to clean out molds, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, forever chemicals, heavy metals, and even microplastics? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America can do that. We are in network with most insurances. Our phone number is 772-298-